you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
We're back. Yeah, baby boys. What's up, Bisping?
Usual shit, buddy. Usual shit. It is raining in California, so I guess that is unusual. The skies are dark and gray and moody and cloudy, but I do like it when it's like this. It reminds me of home. The poor people of England, well, certainly the northwest of England where I'm from, it has been raining there constantly every single goddamn day for about a month. For about a month solid, my mom tells me, my dad tells me, and of course, English people, they like to moan and whinge. So anyone that I know from England, they're complaining about the rain. And I do feel their pain. I really do, because, it's boring it is to bitch about the weather. But when it's sunny, it just puts you in such a great mood. And when it pisses it down with rain every day, you don't want to leave the house. You don't want to do anything. You can't play with the kids. And as stupid as it seems, that was actually one of many other reasons, but one of the reasons why we moved to California, Lewis, to get a bit of sunshine, because it does put a smile on your face.
It does. I mean, I don't know. In a weird way, I think if I lived in California, having the extreme and once in a while the sky opening up and it pouring out rain, isn't that kind of nice? Just it being a little bit different. You don't think it's sort of a nice change? Yeah.
No, it is nice. That's why today I have a hoodie on. You know, because it's the temperatures are cooling, the rains, it's a weird phenomenon. It's like the heavens have opened, there's liquid falling out of the sky. I don't know what this is. Is it the end of the world? The coronavirus is going strong. Now the heavens have opened, we've got water coming out of the sky. Our pets' heads are falling off. It's crazy.
Isn't that how the plague spread? Didn't it rain and then it spread everywhere and we all died? Isn't that what happened? Am I remembering this wrong?
Are you trying to get biblical on us? Are you... The plague of locusts? Is that what you're referring to?
No, plague of locusts.
The seas will turn red.
It was in England, I'm pretty sure.
Talk about the Black Death?
The Black Plague, yeah.
Black Plague was all over Europe, Lewis. And now we know America wasn't founded by the English yet. We hadn't decided to colonize that lawless country just yet. But yeah, across Europe, the Black Plague did kill many, many people.
And wasn't it something to do I'm remembering this wrong. It's something to do with water. They didn't have running water or something. Give me a little fact check. There was no plumbing.
Yeah, there was no sanitary, back in the day. I'm assuming if you needed to piss or shit. Well, you used to have a piss pot, didn't you? You have a piss and you throw it in your bucket out the window and stuff. So which doesn't sound like the cleanest environment. It does sound like an area which bacteria would thrive in. Certainly, if you had Harrington dropping his deuce by the roadside constantly, you know what I mean? I can only imagine the inconsistent, slimy, gooey excretions that Harrington provides. And I don't care what century you're in. Antibiotics or not, that shit will kill you pretty fast.
Did we talk about how Harrington is boxing at Skankfest, one of the other producers here?
He didn't know, but he did message me and ask me in a roundabout way for some Sanibel gloves. He's like, oh, hi. Hey, Mike, those Sanibel gloves you got, they're really cool. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool, cool. And then he mentions, I'm like, don't worry, bud. I got your back. I'll send you a pair of gloves. So, and Harrington, I am going to do that. Remind me. I'm going to send you a pair of gloves. So who is he fighting on Skankfest exactly?
Two things I promise you. Harrington, you will never get these Sanibel gloves. I will bet you, maybe now you will because I'm challenging Bisping. If you want something from Bisping, you're going to have to challenge his manhood in the process, okay? There's no way you're going to remember it. You're traveling in a few hours.
I am. I've got a very, very busy day. But let me tell you this. In my drawer where we keep keys, sunglasses, objet d'art, random shit.
Your
Everyone
junk
has
drawer.
A drawer like that in their house. Yeah, yeah. There's two letters in there addressed to me by some fans, and they've been there for years. So anyone that wants me to send stuff like this, this lady I know, Leslie, that I used to work with at this nightclub called Mom Rolls years ago, she asked me to send some stuff out. She had some personal problems recently, and I was supposed to send some things out for a raffle, and I completely forgot. And I've promised so many people over the years I'm going to send stuff, and I forget. That's because, number one, I used to get hit in the head a lot, and secondly, I'm just a dipshit. I do forget things a lot. But in this drawer, in the junk drawer, there's two letters that have been there for about, I would say, 3 or 4 years. And you say I don't send things back, Lewis. Just the other day, I opened them up. There's top cards in there with a self-addressed stamped envelope. I have signed them. I have put them in, and they are in the mailbox. Well, they're not actually. They're on the kitchen table. They have been there for a week. But they will go in the mailbox at some point. That's all I've got to do. Put them in the mailbox, but they're still there a week later.
So your defense of me saying that he's never going to get them is that years ago, a woman who was sick and had fallen on hard times hit you up saying that she needed something in order to raffle off, in order to get some money to maybe save her children or whatever. Now, years have passed. You just noticed it a week ago, and you said, fine, I'll do it, and you still haven't actually done it.
No, the letters have got no link to the to my old friend whatsoever. These are just two would-be nice guys that sent, probably saved up all their hard-earned money, bought these Topps cards, sent them to me, paid for a stamp. But guess what? Exactly. This is going to make it so much better. They're going to get that envelope with the signed Topps cards like 4 years later. They've given up hope. They've unsubscribed from my Instagram page. They do not watch the podcast. They cannot bear to see my face, but in their face, oh, I will throw it, because they're gonna walk downstairs in a couple of days and it's gonna be like Christmas fucking morning. They're gonna, oh my God, look at this. He sent them back.
They sent you these cards when you were the champion of the world. At this point, you are long retired. You had a major falling from grace. They don't even want these cards at this point.
They're going to burn them. They're going to fucking burn them. And they should. I wouldn't be seen dead with that Topps card that I sent to somebody 4 years ago. Fuck you. You throw it in my face years later when you're not even the champ anymore. You're not, Instagram followers are going down, baby boy. They're not going up. Nobody wants your fucking Topps card.
The Topps card is worth less money than it was when they sent it to you.
The Topps card isn't worth as much as the stamp that they paid to have to send to them. They're like, what the fuck? You need to give me a check for $5, please. World's most expensive stamp option.
You should have tried to get Israel Adesanya to sign your Topps card.
He's trying to make me cry.
And then we would have really assigned some value.
I think after yesterday's show, he may not respond. I don't think we were that hard on him, were we? I wasn't hard. I feel like we were pretty level-headed, I think.
I think you were more than fair. I was pretty fair too. I mean, look, I just don't think it was a great performance. You know, it's up for debate. Did he win? Maybe, yeah, possibly. I guess he definitely won, but you know, that it's not the I don't know. I have a weird perspective on this, because like I couldn't imagine getting upset if it was like something as finite. It's not like comedy is so like subjective. So if somebody gives you a bad review, it's very easy to take it personally, you know, and you're like, God damn it, really? You know, these are my words and my thoughts. With a fight, it's like, yeah, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. There's a performance there. You got to pick somebody. You got to remove the personal side of it. And I think we were really, really fair. I think a lot more people were, I think we were more harsh toward Romero. I think we were almost unfair toward Romero, because I didn't think Romero fought that bad of a fight.
Yeah. Well, we said what we said. I don't want to get into it, because we literally just talked about it for a half an hour on yesterday's show. But I tell you, I'm looking at the notes that Harrington has compiled. And well done, Harrington. So I will send you those sanable gloves, actually, Lewis. I will send them. Well, I won't. Rebecca Bisping will send them today.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Today.
Yeah, it's okay. No, but Louis, Harrington, it's coming from my instruction. I am telling Rebecca what to do and to send them. So you're still going to thank me.
Yeah, I will. And I'll rub it in Lewis's face that you actually fulfilled it. It'll be awesome.
And I'll send them in the prompt fashion in which you managed to, you guys as a collective at Gas Digital, managed to send me some Believe You Me merchandise. I think it only took 3 years.
Hell yeah.
Looks great, though.
Yeah.
By the way, Mr. Bisping. The 48 Laws of Power, law number 7, get others to do the work for you. So there you go. Go get Rebecca to do it, and that's that. Take all that credit.
That's what I do. Just delegate is the word. As I said, I mentioned the notes for Harrington. I want to jump right into this one. Well, saying that, there's a few juicy stories. Where should we start? Obviously, at the weekend, if anyone follows the world of MMA, Brian Ortega slapped a K-pop artist, Jay Park. We've got Edson Barboza asking for free agency. I never knew that, Harrington. That's a good one. And we've also got Justin Gaethje threatening to punch Dana White in the face. Not the smartest move. I say we start with the Justin Gaethje story.
Sure, whatever you like, my friend. For anyone else, I would say it's bad, a bad idea. But Justin Gaethje's he's funny. We've had him on the show before. I really like Justin Gaethje, and in a weird way, like, even Dana would have to admit, like, if people are clicking on it and people are laughing and he's sort of making these moments, it's really only good for business. I mean, Dana's actually probably the one guy who has that perspective, because I knew he had, like, a public beef with Tito Ortiz for years, where Tito wore that shirt to the press conference and said, Dana is my bitch. Yep. And he put all that aside, dude. Dana White's a very, very smart businessman, and he interjects himself in this business in a way where he sort of leaves himself open for those things.
Yeah, well, just to give some context for the listeners, so Gaethje was doing an interview last week, and it was asked about if Conor McGregor was to get the next shot against Khabib, and his answer was, well, if that happens, I'll get fired. I'll punch White in the fucking nose. If you're going to take away an opportunity of my table, then I'm going to fucking fight you. I don't know what you want me to do. It's not fair, and I'm not going to stand for it. I'm very level-headed. Don't sound like it. I respect the boss. Not sure you do, but if he fucking tries that, I'm going to war, okay? I love it. I love the passion. I love that he's so fired up. Maybe not the smartest thing to threaten not only your boss, but, almost a billionaire that probably knows some people that bury some people in Las Vegas, probably connected to the mob in some way. And he does have a bunch of bodyguards. But here's the thing with Dana. Honestly, Dana, he's seen this so many times. This is just water off a duck's back. He kind of laughs, you know what I mean? I spoke to him recently about something, and I think it was Colby. I think when Colby fought Kamaru Usman, I said, what do you think of these comments? And he's like, I don't give a fuck. He said, I've done this since 2001. Was it when they bought the UFC? Whatever. 2001 or 2003. He said, I've been here a million times. He said, so I don't care. So he's probably chuckling in that and laughing. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he'll have a little sly word in private.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, probably not, though. I think that you have hundreds of fighters on roster. You have all these crazy personalities. You have guys who are fucking just like testosterone out the fucking gills. They're super emotional. A lot of the time, they came from fucked up backgrounds, and they didn't have a dad in their life or parents to sort of show them the way. How you're dealing with all of these different personalities, people are gonna say stupid, crazy shit, and they're gonna misspeak. They're gonna. I think it's good for the business. I think it's good for Dana White. I think Dana White sees these moments and sees these, and he goes, oh, people are clicking on him. People are talking about me now. He sees, he starts getting mentions. He goes, you know what? That's all I give a fuck about. We've said this before. The UFC was one of the, I remember how much I respected this years ago. This is probably nearly a decade ago, maybe 8 years ago, when they started giving yearly bonuses for the most creative social media accounts and social media growth and things. And it was so much earlier than I saw other companies doing things like this. And Dana White and company, they're really smart, and they understand you got to get these guys out there in the media talking and creating moments. And then it's sort of a snowball effect.
That was good. At the end of the day, we're fighters, and we're MMA fighters. We're people that get into a cage, and fight in their underwear pretty much. So he's dealing with all kinds of crazy personalities. So as I say, it's probably just water off a duck's back. Although you never know. If you're in a bad mood, it all depends what kind of mood you're in, doesn't it? Anytime you receive not bad news or a threat, which that is, but I don't really think it's a threat. You never know. See, here's the thing as well. I was going to say something else there, but we don't know the context of this. If you watch that video and he's laughing as he says it, he said, fuck, man, I'll punch him in the fucking nose. If I don't get that title fight, what the fuck? Yeah, I'm going to punch that motherfucker in the nose. You know what I'm saying? So when things are written, that's why you got to be careful sending text messages. Because when things are written down in black and white like that, you can't hear the tone of voice. You can't hear potentially a hint of sarcasm, whether they were laughing or whether they were deadly fucking serious. So it's easy to have things a little misconstrued.
And I think fighters also, in my world, right, because you can't threaten to punch people in the face in the comedy world, and I have.
In the world, in general,
you
it's a shame.
You can't communicate that way. I know, but fighters.
No, I hate. this modern fucking world, it pisses me off. You can't even, you can't say boo to a goose these days. You cannot even, you can't say how you really feel. You can't even say how you really feel because, oh my God, why are you shouting right now? Why are you being so aggressive and up in my face? It's like, no.
That word aggressive is so charged. You're like, as soon as somebody's like, why are you being aggressive? You're like, now I have to stand down like a pussy because you just called me aggressive. Yeah. And if I get more aggressive, well, I guess you're right. Oh, I hate it.
What are you talking about?
That's a woman. If a man does that, that man is a fucking beta pussy, and that man should get his ass kicked. Not by you. I'm just saying that's a womanly move, and women do that to sort of take your power away, and it's smart. When a man does it, you're like, you motherfucker. You just don't have the balls to actually stand here and argue.
Yeah, well, women do it all the time, don't they? Especially in the service industry, especially in my experience at airports or on the plane or at the check-in. You know, they get me every time. They say, well, sir, why are you being so aggressive? Like, I'm not being aggressive, but you're being a bitch. Okay, and I'm getting slightly annoyed.
Or they go, why are you? They're like, sir, can you please not raise your voice? Bitch.
Yeah, don't raise your voice. Rebecca says that to me a lot. Don't raise your voice. I'm like, this is how I talk.
Yeah.
I'm talking loud in a charged up manner. Yeah. You don't know me. I'm 41 years old. I have always spoken like this, okay?
I'm not yelling. You don't like my tone. I'm not happy with you. And through my tone and a slight raise in volume, I'm allowing you to know that I'm not happy with the situation. That is how adults communicate. That's not yelling. That is not aggression. This is what happens with humans. But what they do is they try to shut you down by charging you. They go, you're aggressive. You're yelling. You're being... And then you go like, well, now I have to get, do you want to see aggressive? Do you want to see me yell? I've said this so many times with customer service people. I was like, you would know if I'm yelling. Everyone in this fucking place would know that I'm yelling right now if I was yelling. This is actually me being really, really calm. And that just seems crazy. They look at me like, all right, security, this guy's got to go right now.
Hey, but Lewis, you want to, obviously you encounter this type of stuff kind of regularly, and I used to. I am better these days. And what I'm about, no, I am. I
You're
am way better.
You're the same asshole as me. We're the same exact dickhead.
Let me make my point, and you'll see where I'm going. The reason being, I've been forced to address my temper and my nature and the way that I address people, simply because imagine what you go through all the time. People say, oh, sir, you're being aggressive. And then combine that with the fact that at one point, or still are, like a world famous cage fighter that was the world champion. So that when you combine it with that, the threat level is amplified. And even though I'm just sitting there, I've got my hands in my pockets and I'm slightly pissed off and I always talk fast and in elevated volume, they think I'm about to kick off and fucking security comes over and all kinds of stuff. So I've really got to minimize the aggression, minimize the tone, minimize the volume. You know what I'm saying? Because it's amplified by what I'm known for.
By the way, I had a thing the other day with a taxi. There's people just have me being crazy with a taxi driver on camera the other day. If you guys have this video, please send it in. It's just me being a lunatic in the street.
Lewis, take this opportunity. The floor is yours right now to apologize to all taxi drivers and Uber drivers because there's a reoccurring theme here. You do this a lot. You lose your shit. Do you understand that they're just average people going about their day? They got problems. They got things at home. They may be suffering from the coronavirus.
You hit the nail on the head. You're right. They're average. I'm expecting them to be above average. We should all go above and beyond. You want to be an Uber driver? Be the best fucking Uber driver in the world. That's what I say.
What if he can't? What if he can't possibly be the best Uber driver in the world, okay? He wants a better car. He wants a fresh, brand new Mercedes, okay? He wants to be an Uber Black one day, but he can't. He just can't afford it. He's just started for Uber.
He was an Uber Black. Don't you worry.
Steady on, buddy. Steady on. Anyway.
Mike, we got to talk about Vessi, which I love. I'm wearing my Vessis right now. I know you're wearing them as well. Look at these. These are the coolest sneakers that I own. Okay, I really mean this, guys. I wear these all over the place. I travel with them. They're the most comfortable sneakers I own. They're really soft. They slip on like a sock, okay? They have a very like elasticy sort of end. So I'm a lazy asshole. I don't want to untie and tie my shoes every single time. Michael Bisping, Vessis are changing the way that I'm walking the streets in New York City. How you doing out there on the West Coast?
Well, not so much the West Coast, but it's changing the way that I luxuriately walk onto fancy jetliners in business class. When I walk on now, I float onto the plane and I feel like, you know, sometimes like you kind of feel like some people are looking and saying, he doesn't deserve to be in first class on this private jet. Now they look, they see me in my vest, they're like, whoa, there's a guy that knows what's up. He's stylish, but yet they're comfortable. And here's the best bit. If the plane goes down in the ocean, my feet will be dry. Okay?
You'll be dead.
The rest of my body will yeah, I'll be dead. I'll be dead. But when they drag my dead carcass out of the water, they'll say, holy shit, dry feet. Rest of the body is all wrinkled up. You know, like when you spend too much time in the bath, the body will be wrinkled. But they'll take the shoes off just to inspect my feet. And they'll be like, holy shit, his feet are completely dry.
These are the feet of, an alive man. This is crazy.
Has there been some kind of foot transplant on this dead body? I just don't understand what's happening here. But
you're kidding about that. But I really got to be honest with you, that side of it is a really amazing thing. They're completely waterproof. I was on a flight the other day. I dropped a cup of coffee onto my foot, an entire cup of coffee onto my foot, which would have ruined my whole flight. It would have ruined it all. Nothing. It just bounced right off the shoe.
You know why? You know why? Because of the Dymatex material, the first dual climate knit material, which regulates temperature. So when you wear them in the winter, it keeps you warm. But in the summer, it lets sweat and heat escape. They're also highly stretchy, as you mentioned. They are lightweight. In fact, the lightest waterproof sneaker in the world. Only 175 grams, 100% vegan, and a grip for all weather. But on top of all that, as I say, look at them. They are really, really nice. They're stylish, they're comfortable, they're waterproof. They're a beautiful pair of shoes. And if people want to get involved, of course, we have a fantastic offer for you. Lewis, tell the people.
Right now, go to VessiFootwear.com. That is V-E-S-S-I Footwear.com/believe. Check out their incredible stock of shoes. Really, really cool, casual, sporty, whatever you guys need. And you get to experience the world's first 100% waterproof knit shoe that you can wear anywhere in any weather. And you save $25 off your order. Make sure you go to VessiFootwear.com/believe. V-E-S-S-I Footwear.com/believe. And use that promo code believe at checkout and save $25 off of the best pair of sneakers you're ever going to purchase. All right, where were we?
You know, I mentioned coronavirus a moment ago. Don't worry, we're not going to get into the coronavirus. I know every man and their dog are talking about it. But last night, Callum calls us, which is rare that he calls. Certainly FaceTime, you know, for him to, because we always FaceTime him and he doesn't pick up and he doesn't pick up. And I get it. You know, he's with his buddies, he's in college, he's God knows what he's doing. But he doesn't want to pick up a FaceTime call to his parents, especially with his buddies. But last night we get one of him and he says, guess what, Dad? I said, what? He said, can you book me a flight home because college is shut down because of the coronavirus? I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, yep, all classes completely canceled until at least April 5th. April 5th. So yeah, he's flying home tonight. He's going to be home for at least a month and do his studying online. So something is happening. It must be growing. It must be getting bigger.
Yeah, it must be. I mean, whatever. We spoke ad nauseum on yesterday's show about it, so we won't go into it anymore. I am still very skeptical. You know, I know that they've banned mass gatherings in certain cities, which, you know, I'm actually kind of happy because that number was 2,500 people, which is substantially higher than any given day at Skankfest. So I'm hoping that it's not going to affect us at all in a few weeks because we do have Skankfest coming up. But look, comedians, you as well, being, you know, you travel, you work through these huge UFC events. It's a weird thing because, like, I have a different perspective. I work every night and I work with crowds of people. I meet people every single day. I take subway cars every day. I fly almost every weekend.
It's very hard for you and your team of assistants to get around, but you still choose to use public transport. You and your multiple assistants, you say, yeah, we're not above this. Yes, I will shout at the Uber drivers. The train conductor will get a thorough stripping down. I will scream at the person when he asks for my tickets, and my assistant will hand them the money. But you will do that. You do public transport. Good for you, buddy. Round of applause, everyone.
But I have a heart.
Lewis uses public transport and you want props for it. Fuck me. We need a round of applause sound. Thank you, Bob.
That's not what I was saying. That's not what I was saying. What I was saying
is I'll still use public transport. I'll still get on the train. I'll still go to subways. You know, going on the subway in New York is like a touristy thing. I did it the first time I ever went there. You are honored. You are lucky. You are privileged to be able to ride the subway on a daily basis.
You literally just took my entire point away from what we were talking about. It's nothing to do with the subway, all right? What I'm saying is you and I, we have to do this for a living every week, and I don't know anybody who's gotten sick. I don't know comedians who are out there literally shaking hands with everybody every night. I don't know any of them who are sick. I don't know anybody who's stopping working. In my world and from my perspective, I just step away from the computer for a minute, and this isn't just with coronavirus, this is with everything, and then everything doesn't seem so crazy. I will say, you know what they did there? They took the sugar and the cream off the counters at Subway or at Starbucks.
Oh man! So how are you going to cope now? I mean, that is big. What are you going to do, Lewis? I mean, you know, people are worried, but the real concern is that at Starbucks, they've removed their coffee and what have they left?
No, they've removed the milk and sugar. So I guess you're not sharing condiments or. It's all just silly. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't. Whatever. Let's move on because I don't want to speak about coronavirus anymore.
Shit is really hitting the fan if they remove the sweetener at Starbucks. I mean, I will stand for some things, but I will not stand for that. So, yeah, a formal letter of complaint will be going in shortly. Let's talk about this. Brian Ortega. Brian Ortega was involved with an incident at the weekend, and I'm saying this now like I have a fucking clue who the K-pop artist, which I'm just learning K-pop means for Korean pop, Jay Park. First of all, who is Jay Park, and why are we all talking about him like we know who he is, like we're all fans and connoisseurs of K-pop? Harrington, anything to say? Brian, anything to say? Lewis, anything to say on
He's a pretty metal dude. He's a pretty big hip-hop artist. He's an American, Korean-American rapper. I've heard of him before. I don't know his shit. I just don't know. But I think he's like the biggest Korean-American star. Like he's a multi-platinum selling artist. I don't listen to K-pop or much, you know, popular music now at all. But he's also a huge MMA fan, and I guess he's friends with Korean Zombie, them both being Korean. So the story goes, I believe, and Harrington, please clear this up for me if I do get any of this wrong, but he had, I guess, Korean Zombie had done an interview with him. Was it actually on Ariel's show or was it another show?
No, it was on Ariel's show.
Okay, so what happened was he did an interview with him, and Jay Park was translating what Korean Zombie was saying. So he's literally just repeating what he was saying, and I guess Brian Ortega took issue with what Korean Zombie was saying, but literally because we took issue with Jay Park. I mean, in a case of don't shoot the messenger, I mean, it's as clear cut as possible. It's not anything. I guess the one thing that Jay Park said was like, yeah, if I had to pick somebody, like I'm obviously Team Korean Zombie, but it was nothing crazy. What exactly did he translate?
Yeah. Listen, Lewis, I love you, buddy. I love you. You're a great guy. You're awesome. You're a hell of a podcaster. But I am none the wiser on the situation for what you just told me. You did a terrible job of explaining that situation. I still don't know who Jay Park is and what happened. I have followed the story a little bit. Harrington.
So Jay Park is a rapper. Essentially, in the conversation with Ariel, Korean Zombie was saying, I don't want to fight Ortega. Ortega's already ducked out on a fight with me before. Ortega took exception to that. Because he said there's a difference between injuries and ducking out of a fight. I was injured. He had to have ACL surgery, which then he didn't have to do after the fight was off. Totally other point. Either way, he had an issue with that and said he was going to slap Jay Park next time he saw him. He told him full well he was planning on doing this. Korean Zombie then took to Instagram and said, you know, you were sitting 10 meters away from us for the entire night. You waited till I went to the bathroom, then came over and did that. You're a pussy. What's wrong with you?
So Brian Ortega slapped. I saw on Brian Ortega's Instagram, bring it up this morning. Bring it up if you can. He says that he slapped three people at once. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the story of what happened is that Brian Ortega was kicked out of the building or security escorted him out of the arena on Saturday night because he slapped Jay Park. But according to his Instagram, he slapped three people. And I think he was arrested. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I know he was arrested. There was a formal police report filed against him. Jay Park did an interview afterwards where he described what happened. I got to be honest with you, Brian, if you're a fighter...
I'll say this. I'm not legally trained. I am not a lawyer. But I've got a little bit of advice for everyone out there, all you believers. If you get arrested for assault, don't go to Instagram and brag that it wasn't one person that you assaulted, it was actually three. Okay, because while you may get some kudos for honesty, it's going to bite you in the ass when this shit hits court. I'm just saying, just throwing that out there. What do you think, Lewis?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I didn't realize Brian Ortega, for some reason, I just assumed he was like, he looks like a nice guy, but apparently he's pretty thuggy, which surprises me every once in a while when you hear these guys talk.
What day is it?
What day is it?
Four days ago, Brian Ortega was given a choice. Have you not seen that out commercial? It airs all the time for Modelo.
No, I didn't see it.
9 years ago, Brian Ortega. You must have seen it.
I didn't see
it. The Modelo advert. It's on every UFC event.
Oh, yes.
Every time he goes to commercial break, he goes, 9 years ago, Brian Ortega was given a choice. You know, it's like 4 days ago, Brian Ortega was given a choice. Does he slap Korean pop artist Jay Park or does he walk away? He chose to slap him. Anyway,
I mean,
there you go.
Here's the thing. Like, you know, it's not... I could see if... I'm not saying, like, be above... If you're a fighter, number one, I think you should have control of your physical emotions to the point where you're going to go and smack somebody that's not physically threatening to you. I think that sort of sucks, right? I think, you know, this is a little Korean pop star. This is not a big guy in any sense. So I just feel like, you know, there's just no, I don't get, even if he was talking shit, I just feel like you're like, dude, you're a fucking fighter. It's just sort of a pussy move. It's very much a bully move. It's like a fucking big kid who's going and smacking a small kid in the face because he knows he can. And I guess the point was Korean Zombie had gone to the bathroom, and that was the chosen moment that he came to do it because he had nobody there to sort of get in between him. Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't there, but it does seem sort of like a pussy move.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, as a trained fighter, you can't go around hitting people. Simple as that. I remember... when I was 16, I got into a fight and I ended up in court for it. You know, I was 16. I was an idiot. You know, that's why you shouldn't drink alcohol, especially when you're 16, because I got into a fight. And in court, they said, well, you're a trained martial artist. So therefore, and I was defending myself, right? I was defending myself. And that was obviously my line of defense in court. But they said, because you're a trained martial artist, you perceive threats of violence differently than the average man. I got to say, that's pretty accurate. It's pretty a good assumption from the judge to come out with that. So he's like, so I'm not allowing this line of self-defense because you perceive threats of violence differently. And if violence was to ensue, then you can defend yourself. You can handle the situation. You're used to a combat environment, you know. And that judge was right. Yeah, listen, I like Brian. All my interactions have been fantastic. I found him to be a nice, calm, mellow guy. And at the end of the day, when, you know, emotions get involved and that's an opponent and people are talking shit, yeah, it's hard. You know, it's hard to remain cool at all times. And who knows? He's in Las Vegas. He's having a few drinks. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know if he drinks or not. Harrington, I hear you trying to come in. Better be a good point, because I was on a roll there, baby. I was about to really go with it and like spout some wisdom, but Harrington, go.
In the interest of fairness, I have Brian Ortega's since-deleted tweet that explains the incident.
Oh, all right, let's hear it.
Park signed Korean Zombie to a management contract under AOMG Entertainment, of which Park is the CEO, and soon after trash talking began... And soon after the trash talking began, when I finally made it to Korea for the press conference, KZ approached me with his translator, the real one, not Jay Park, and said, I want to apologize for the trash talking. It was my management that wants to do it to promote the fight. I accepted his apology, shook his hand, and we had a great press conference. Soon after I tore my knee and the fight got canceled, 4 weeks ago, KZ and JP went on Ariel's show and said I dodged the fight. Dodging, quote-unquote, an injury, quote-unquote, are two separate things. And since I already knew that JP was the one writing the script, that's when I welcomed him to the fight game and warned him to watch his mouth. On Saturday night, I slapped three people at the same time. I apologize for slapping the translator, and I apologize for slapping the K-pop star, but I don't apologize for slapping the instigator. Okay, so I think what he's saying is Jay Park was three separate people in that case.
What do you mean?
So you're saying that Jay Park wears three different hats in that case, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, that's how I understand.
No, what do you mean?
He's saying that he's a K-pop star and a translator and an instigator. He's saying he slapped three people with one slap.
Okay. Okay. Listen, at the end of the day, this Jay Park, I saw him on Ariel's show yesterday. He said he's not going to sue him or pursue legal charges. So that's very decent of him. At the end of the day, it was a slap. We don't know how hard it was. Maybe it was a tiny little, you know, he or it could have been a real good one.
Ariel asked him if it hurt. And at first he was like, no. Nah. And then he stopped himself and he goes, well, I got to be honest with you. My jaw is a little bit stiff right now. So I'm sure it was a good one. And then I guess he said he got up and he pushed him, which I don't know if I buy that part of it. Well,
you got to say that, aren't you? And maybe he did do that because, sir, I mean, listen, make no mistake, Brian Ortega, number two featherweight in the entire world, would, I don't know about K-pop stars, okay? But I don't think a K-pop star against a world-class featherweight would win. Mm. But you are surrounded by a lot of people, so you can get a little brave and you can get a little argy-bargy, a little pushy-wushy, a little push, you know what I mean?
Also, it depends what's built into you.
That's the time to go in for the push. That is the time.
It depends on how you're built, right? So, you know, what do they say? Fight, flight, or freeze when you're afraid. So some people, just even if there's no fucking chance to beat a UFC fighter, they just fight because that's who they are and that's the way they're built. Some people would start running and some people would freeze and just get their ass kicked. So I think that mentality, maybe he was just like, you know, I don't know. I think he's also not suing because he's worth way more money than Brian Ortega. I think this guy's very rich.
Yeah, well, he did actually say, he said, no, I don't sue people that have less than me.
Is that what he said?
You know, to be honest, that's actually what he said. That's a quote that I saw him say yesterday. Yeah, I don't sue people that have less than me. So whatever. It's a bit of scandalous gossip for us to talk about. Brian Ortega's awesome, but just, you know, keep your hands to yourself. I think that's a fair bit of advice that we can all learn from. But,
and also, I will say in Brian Ortega's defense, you know, we did hear that interview with Jay Park. From his perspective, he's going, what, dude, don't shoot the messenger. You know, maybe he is talking a little shit. Maybe he is rattling the cage a little bit. And it's easy to play innocent when the smoke clears and you have a UFC fighter who, you know, you said about yourself, is sort of perceived as being a violent person. You can sort of paint that picture very easily and go, look at this fucking animal. I'm just sitting here, you know, being the translator.
Well, also, let's talk about this because, you know, I mean, Jay Park's there. He's acting fucking hard. He's talking shit to a UFC fighter. You're getting what you asked for. You know, that is what he does. That is the type of person you're dealing with. Yes, okay, in modern society and with laws and stuff, you can't go around doing that. But you strip all that to one side. If it was just you and him in a fucking desert island or on another planet where there's no laws or anything like that, would you do that then? Is that how you choose to speak to him? Would you raise your voice? Would you act disrespectful? No, you fucking wouldn't. So don't do it just because you're protected by the laws of society. You know what I mean? Treat a person how you want to be treated. Treat him with respect. Speak to him how you would speak to him if you could do whatever he wants. You know what I'm saying? Because fucking Brian Ortega would destroy this guy. So when you're standing there and you're talking shit just because you know you can get away with it. I mean, that kind of mentality does annoy me a little bit.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know what happened, but now we're somehow on Brian Ortega's side, and I like it.
I like it.
Fuck you, Jay Park.
Fuck, yeah. A minute ago, we're like, Ortega, I'm no lawyer, but I'm going to give you some advice. This is no way to behave. And now we're like, hold on. If you were on Jupiter, you would not speak to Brian Ortega because 9 years ago, he was given a choice. And that choice was slap Jay Park or don't slap Jay Park. Ortega's going to slap that Park all fucking day. So there we go. Bit of scandalous gossip.
Michael Bisping, we got to talk about CBDMD, which is an incredible company that's been with the show for a long time, been with you for a very long time. CBD, the non-psychoactive chemical in hemp. It does not get you high. This is specifically used to heal you, get your body back in homeostasis, as they say, make you feeling normal, making you feeling better. Maybe you have things that are bothering you at night, pain, muscle issues, arthritis. Maybe you have trouble sleeping. There's so many different things that CBD can help you with, and I'm so happy to be able to partner with CBDMD.
Yeah, they really are a terrific company. Obviously, you've heard of CBD these days, but CBDMD, they are definitely the market leader. They have such a variety of products. They got the CBD PM, which blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, and chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful, effective sleep aid. Let me tell you, that stuff does work. I had an amazing night's sleep last night. Also, the freeze pain relieving gel with menthol. Let me tell you something. Yesterday, I'm doing my shoulder and bicep. You know, maybe I pushed it a little too hard. Yeah. You know, maybe my world champion mindset was detrimental on this occasion because I'm telling you, my neck has been jacked. I mean, I do have a bad neck. I have neck issues, but thankfully, Due to the freeze, I've been rolling that stuff on. I can apply it myself. You can even look at my Instagram story. I ain't lying. I was applying that shit yesterday, and my neck does feel better. It's still not 100%, but it definitely helps relieve the pain. And oh, look at that. More range of motion than yesterday. So yeah, so basically when your neck is tight, your legs feel like jelly, or your back is as stiff as a board, don't worry about it, because my friends at CBDMD have got you covered with their two amazing product of the year winning CBD products, which I told you, the CBD PM and the Freeze. Fortunately, if you want a fantastic deal, Lewis, we have them covered.
Yeah, all you got to do right now is go to CBDMD.com, grab anything from their oils to their gummies to the distillates and more. You get 25% off your next order when you use the promo code BYM at checkout. Make sure you use that promo code at checkout, BYM, and you get 25% off your order. Go to CBDMD.com, grab their products, let them know we sent you, and start healing today. All right, let's get back into it. Wasn't there more gossip? Logan Paul, what is this? I only saw a second of this video, the opening seconds of this video, and it was a punch by Paulo Costa, and it looked very, 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 very fake to me.
Yeah, so I'll be honest, I got sucked in because some journalists shared the entire video. And Logan Paul, is it Logan Paul or Jake Paul? Who are we talking about? One of Logan. The Pauls. Right, Logan Paul is a YouTuber, right? But I've never watched any of his stuff. But this journalist clicked on the link, you know, put a link, and I clicked on it as I was having my morning coffee. I gotta say, it was a very, very entertaining video. And part of it is a little minute that he's in, is at the Performance Institute, and he's sparring Paulo Costa. Paulo Costa knocks him out. It's clearly fake, but it's a bit of fun and games for his YouTube thing. But the video that he put out there on his YouTube, I got to say, I might subscribe to this guy. I mean, he's a bit douche. He's throwing water around and stuff like that. Yeah, this is the punch bar I was talking, Lewis. Yeah, his video was very good. There you go. There you go. Make your point.
I wasn't making a point. I was just letting you know that he was setting up a video. This is the video right here. Yeah.
Didn't even connect. But still, it's good. And there is Valide Ismail, who was... did you just play that bit again, Brian? I think the performance of the night goes to Valide Ismail for the acting here, because it's really good, because it's so condescending. Listen to this. Hold on.
Hey, welcome back, guys.
Oh, that's the actual video that I watched. It must be that exact one. Afterwards, Valide Ismail said, oh, you were great, bro. You were great. Oh, very good. Come on. Oh, you win. You win. You were great. It was funny. It was funny. I got to say, that's a pretty well-made video. I might maybe not subscribe, but I may lurk now and again and see what he's up to.
Yeah, I don't know what those guys do at all. It was just the opening of the video. It's a little clickbaity, you know? So it's like it's a little teaser of him getting, you know, hit. And I just sort of cringed. I was like, are you trying to pretend that's real? In the actual video, does he try to pretend it's real? Or is it obviously a setup?
Yeah. No, he does. He does. He pretends that it's real. But I don't think anyone's going to buy that. I think they just know it's a bit of bullshit, a bit of fun and games. Yeah, because you can clearly see, if anything, it hits his shoulder, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, well. Anyway, there you go. That's what Logan Paul and Paulo Costa are getting up to in their spare time.
If you're Logan Paul is trying to pretend to be a fighter, he's actually going out there and fighting. Isn't he the one that says that he wants a shot in the UFC?
Yeah, he says in the beginning he's an 0-1 professional boxer, and he does. He is the one who's calling out guys in Bellator.
Yeah, he's the dude that was. Yeah.
Well, on that clip there, it shows him wrestling Paulo Costa, because I think he does have a wrestling background. He was a pretty good wrestler back in the day, apparently, from what I'm led to believe. And he's wrestling away there with Paulo Costa, who's a big, strong dude. I got to say, Paulo Costa, this must have been shot a while ago, because the Paulo Costa we saw on Saturday night with the lipstick on and the bloated face is not the Paulo Costa that we've seen in that video. And I'm not offending Paulo Costa. I'm a massive fan. I'm just saying that in between fights, fighters blow up. And here he is in fight shape. And on Saturday night, he did not look to be in fight shape. But look at this, doing well in the grappling. Costa's working hard and Logan Paul is scrambling like a maniac.
Yeah, I mean, no, he's very athletic. The wrestling looks really, really good. And that it looks legit. But I mean, to be honest with you, it is sort of a dance still. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're, you know, I don't know how much of that is real. I don't even care. God bless Logan Paul. Okay. He's very entertaining. He's got a great career. He hangs up a lot of comedian friends that I know. But if you are trying to be a fighter, you can't be a fraud and put out a video pretending to get punched by Paulo Costa and go, look, I stood with a UFC fighter. Like, it just kind of sucks. If you're trying to fight, if you're just trying to be a fake entertainer, then who gives a shit? Then make silly videos all day long.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but it's self-deprecating, which is entertaining. So, you know, maybe you're lulling opponents into a false sense of security. But honestly, that's it. That's as long as I accept to discuss Jake Paul or Logan Paul. I still don't know which one we're talking about, okay? But I refuse. I'm going to stop this conversation right here and say, we got to move on. We do have a big fight card this weekend. Kevin Lee taking on Edson Barboza. We'll get into that at the end. Is there anything else, though, that's juicy that we need to talk?
I mean, nothing super juicy. We have a bunch of fan questions as well. So why don't we do a few fan questions before we get into some picks for the fight card over the weekend with Charles DuBronx Oliveira taking on Kevin Lee.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I can't give fight picks. I can't do that. I'm commentating the event. Ooh. So I can't give a prediction, unfortunately. But I do see point number three is very, very interesting to me. We'll spend a quick minute on this. Well done, Harrington. I didn't know this. Edson Barboza has asked for his release from the UFC to test free agency waters. Edson says, I'm very thankful for these almost 10 years that I've been working for the company. I gave my best every single fight to put on a show for the fans, but I think it's time to move on. I don't have more time to wait, so please let me go. Wow. I'm actually kind of blown away and surprised by that statement there. Edson Barboza has been a fan favorite for the longest time, been a part of some amazing fights, wants to test the free waters. I'm going to bring up his record. What do we think, Lewis?
Yeah, I mean, look, I get it. You know, if you have a time limit in your career, as everybody does, every professional athlete does, you know, you want to be able to go out and make as much money as possible. And if he doesn't think he's going to become a UFC champion, he's been in the UFC for a really long time. He's got a very, very recognizable name. There's probably a path to making more money and stacking money for his kids, thinking about his future. It's not necessarily a bad idea in some cases. And I think we've seen it in the past where fighters have left the UFC and it was probably a better decision for them because they were never going to capture that gold.
Yeah, no, I totally agree because I'm looking at his record right now. And as we see, 4 out of his last 5, he has lost. He lost to Khabib. No shame in that. Still the champion. Lost to Kevin Lee. Tremendous fighter. No shame in that. He beat Dan Hooker. By the way, when he beat Dan Hooker, that was a fucking sensational fight. As we know, Barboza is one of the best kickers. Lost to Justin Gaethje, knocked out, and then lost a split decision to Paul Felder. So, yeah, if you look at that, to your point entirely, Lewis, right? He's struggling against the top dogs. That doesn't mean he's not exciting. Doesn't mean he's not a name. Doesn't have fan recognition because he does. He has all of those things. But he's never going to get the championship money in the UFC because the competition is too hard. I'm not saying that he's not world-class. I'm not saying he's not good enough. And a lot of those fights were close. But when you've lost 4 of your last 5, I understand because to your point, you know, some of these other organizations that are trying to build their names, trying to establish their brand in the MMA space, they need stars. You know, Bellator have done this for a long time. ONE FC are doing it. So what they do, they pay over the odds to get somebody like an Edson Barboza because it's good for their brand. I don't know what Demetrius Johnson gets paid for ONE FC, but if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's a huge sum of money, I think. And Barboza's probably hearing these kind of rumblings and thinking, hey, let me add the UFC. Let me go and make some massive money. Not that UFC can't pay massive money because they clearly can. But if you're losing 4 out of your last 5, you're not going to get those paychecks because the competition is too stiff. You know what I mean? So it's not the UFC's fault. I wouldn't. You know, I mean, would you pay someone $1 million if they were losing 4 out of the last 5? You just wouldn't. It's not smart business sense. So it's not the UFC's fault. But I kind of understand why Edson's going to try and go and exploit is a strong word, but he's going to go try and take advantage of the situation with these brands. They're trying to establish themselves. Does that make sense?
Of course it does. And to be honest with you, where you look at Edson, I mean, I would advise him to do that. If I'm Edson's management team, I'm like, yeah, you know what? 2 in a row, you just lost Gaethje. Who else did you just lose to?
Paul Felder.
Paul Felder. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like at this point, you lose a couple more, and now your value is really starting to go down, and you're fighting, you know, killers, dude. I mean, Justin Gaethje, you know, Edson Barboza has been in a bunch of crazy fights. He's a guy who has a style where he does take punishment. Yeah, dude, he probably only has a limited amount of fights left in his career. It's probably a good move. It's sort of strange because he's lost 2 in a row. He probably wouldn't get a UFC release with losing 2 in a row. So that's why he has to ask for it.
Yeah, well, typically what they do is, well, it sounds like he might have fought. Oh, no, he can't afford to hide his contract. Otherwise, the contract would just be null and void. It would be expired. So he obviously must have one last fight on his contract, and he's asking to get out of it, which is an unusual move. It really is. But anyway, whatever happens, best of luck to Edson Barboza. I, for one, would love to see him still in the UFC. Whenever I think of Edson Barboza, the one thing that comes to my mind, and everybody's mind, is that spinning wheel kick knockout of Terry Ettin. Or mate Terry from Liverpool, shout out Terry Ettin. But that's all you think of, that sickening knockout that he landed on Terry Ettin. But yeah, whatever. Best of luck, Edson, whatever you decide to do.
All right, Mike, let's take a quick second and thank BetDSI. Love BetDSI. You better bet they're the best website to gamble on. Been in business for over 20 years. Top rated in so many different review sites. You've heard of BetDSI. You probably haven't heard of many gambling websites. The reason you've heard about BetDSI is because they're trusted. They have 24/7, 365 day a year customer service and a reputation on fast payment of winnings. Mr. Bisping, before we started working with BetDSI, you used to complain to me. You used to say, I would love to spend more money gambling. I just don't like going on those websites.
Yeah, that's right, Lewis. They can be, well, they are. They are very, very confusing, but that is not the situation with BetDSI.com. Very, very easy to use. Even a knucklehead like me can use it, Lewis. And as you said, fantastic customer service, which is available 24/7, 365, should you encounter any problems. And the best thing is, of course, we have a code for you, which is BYM120. And up to $1,000, they will give you a 60% bonus cash match. I mean, come on, they're giving away free money. If you put on $1,000, and use our code, that will turn into $1,600. That is a very easy example. There's many other examples we can do. But Lewis, just explain that to the listeners, please.
Yeah, either way, when you go to BetDSI.com, make sure you use that promo code BYM120. That lets them know that we sent you there. That makes sure that they continue to sponsor the show, which is really, really important. This is why you guys get to listen to the show or watch the show for free. But if you opt in for that bonus cash, that 60% bonus match, just know there is a rollover requirement. That means you have to gamble a certain amount of times with that bonus money before you can actually take it out. If you still want to use the promo code and just gamble, you can take your money out right away. So I know that there was a discrepancy in the past about how to use the promo codes, but we want to make sure you completely understand it. Go to BetDSI.com, use that promo code BYM120, and opt in for that 60% bonus if you decide to. All right, let's get back into it.
Where should we go, Lewis?
I say we do some fan questions because we did get some good ones today and we didn't do any on the last show. We do have a little bit of time left here. So real quick, if you guys want to join the conversation, please shoot us an email, bympod@gmail.com. Your video questions are very much appreciated. I know we got a piece of fan content today as well, which we'll get into here in just a moment. So anything, pictures, videos, if you guys have audio questions, just straight up text questions as well, you can send them there. We love the fan art as well, so please keep on sending us that. If you guys also want to subscribe on iTunes, just go do that. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. We're on Stitcher, we're on Google Play, we're on every platform you could possibly imagine. YouTube channel as well. You get the latest 30 episodes right on YouTube. Subscribe, you get a little notification, let you know when we're going live. And you get every episode we've ever done at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use that promo code BYM, get a 14-day free trial, get the entire on-demand library with pre-release, ad-free, uncensored, and more benefits. All right, so we got a few questions here, Harrington, correct? I say we go, I guess just do them right
good
in
talk,
order.
Good talk, Harrington. Excellent input. Excellent.
He's mentally handicapped.
Okay, well.
That's fucking genius. Oh, no. Oh, now you decide to talk when I'm talking. Interrupting me again. Lewis directly addresses you, finishes the sentence with the name Harrington, if you writ it out with a question mark at the end. Nothing. I decide to talk and you talk over me. Love it. Love it. Fantastic. Harrington? Well,
this might be the worst time to bring up my replacement, but here's Millie.
Hey, what's up, Michael Bisping and Luis Che Gomez? My question is regarding Diego Sanchez's guru or coach, Joshua Fabia. Recently, they were both on Luke Thomas's radio show, and Diego Sanchez told a story in which he went 80% at Joshua Fabia in a parking lot, and Joshua Fabia, being 5'1" and 135 pounds, was actually able to tap out Diego Sanchez. My question is, do you think Diego Sanchez is lying about this story? And if he is, why do you think he would lie in order to prove the credibility of his coach? And if he isn't, do you think that makes Joshua Fabia a pretty credible coach and maybe we all owe him an apology? Let me know. Thanks.
Well, Brantendo, what's his real name?
Millie.
Millie. Oh, sorry, Millie. I always forget that. Yeah, Brantendo. I just know him as Brantendo. Here's the thing. This is a tricky one. Number one, I don't owe them an apology because if I believe we never spoke about Fabia. Is it Joshua Fabia or Fabia on the show? And it was in the notes a couple of times. Harrington tried to instigate a little bit of shit talk. I didn't want to do it because I respect Diego Sanchez. I respect what he's doing. And, you know, at the end of the day, whatever works for you as a fighter, whatever makes you feel good in your training camp, you know, that's his choice. So I didn't want to shit on it because there's a lot of shit coaches out there. There's a lot of great coaches in mixed martial arts, but there's also a lot of charlatans, a lot of shit coaches. So I didn't want to jump on it. But then I saw more and more, right? And I was talking to somebody recently and they brought up a really good point. And the point was that, you know, mixed martial arts realistically was the proving ground to get rid of all those fakes and all those wannabes and all this bullshit. You know what I mean? If you look at, you know, McDojo Life is a great Instagram account to follow. If you want to see fake martial artists, you know, you see people being touched and they fall asleep. And, you know, here's Joshua Fabia prior to the fight. He brings in the commission because he wants to show this choke that will actually kill his opponent if Diego was to apply it, you know? So, you know, I mean, but I didn't want to shit on him. I didn't. But, you know, at some point, you just got to have a laugh with this. So he's saying that Joshua attacked Diego 80%. No, Diego attacked Joshua 80% and he was able to tap him out. Am I understanding that correctly, Lewis?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, what happened? Number one, why would Diego attack him 80%? He's been a good friend. He's been a good student. He's been a good teammate. He's trying to, because he sees the ridicule that he's getting and he's trying to have his back. That's what's going on there. He's probably embellishing a little bit there for his sake and being a little self-deprecating, because I'm pretty sure Diego, if he wanted to, could tear his head off and shit down his throat if he wanted to. But, you know, he's just got his boys back. He's being a good friend.
Yeah. I mean, look, I appreciate that quality in a human being. Honestly, I really, really, truly do. It's much more of a valuable quality than somebody who wants to look like a badass, than somebody who wants to, you know, somebody who needs to be right in every moment. Somebody who says, fuck it, dude, I will take one on the chin to make my friend look better and to give my friend credibility. That's a good quality. I don't buy it. Diego's a little bit of a whack job. Whatever. Anybody who looks at me in the eyes and says, hey, dude, I really believe in Jesus. I really believe that God opens up the skies and makes it rain.
Don't do it.
They're wacky people. Fine. If you're one of those people, I'm wacky too. I believe crazy shit. That's just a crazy thing that you believe, okay? I believe in other crazy shit, so fine. We're all wacky. Don't tell me I'm fucking crazy, but people that believe that there's a man that lives in the sky that fucking is bowling every time it thunders, that's supposed to be believable. Fuck off.
Hey, I gave the best, I think it's a pretty good line. When I was at the 199 pre-fight press conference, I said to the people, I said, listen, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way to religious people, but if you believe that if you can get down on your knees and pray to God in the sky, that things are going to happen. If you can believe that, then you can believe that I'm going to knock out Luke Rockhold next week. And it's completely true. It's like, fucking, you think I'm crazy for that? But anyway, let's not shit all over religion. That's not what we're trying to do here. But I get your point. Back to our point. Yeah, I respect Diego for that. He's got his back. Is he wacky? Is he out of his mind? The trainer? Maybe. I don't know him. I'm seeing him on you know, a lot of shows, a lot of the MMA content. He's on there. And yeah, you know, it's a little out there. But as I say, whatever gets you to the dance, whatever makes Diego feel good. And I'm not going to shit all over that. And Diego, in that instance, was being a good friend and having his buddies back. And I commend that.
You said this a long time ago, and I don't know if it was a fan question. Maybe I asked you that. I might have posed the question to you. And the question was, I said, well, once you get to a certain level and you're in the UFC, why wouldn't you always just choose the absolute best Muay Thai coach, the absolute best wrestling coach, the absolute best conditioning coach? Like, why wouldn't you just spend the money and always make sure you get the best of the best? And you had a great answer for that, which I don't know if you remember.
I know what it was. Yeah, I do. I said, you got to spend time with people that you like.
Yep.
You got to click with them. You got to have a team. You got to fly to another country, potentially on the other side of the world. You've got to share a hotel room with them. You've got to go to lunches with them. You've got to have your training. If you're sharing a hotel room, which a lot of people do, certainly in the early days of UFC, a lot of people have got all the cornermen. You know, if they're broke or whatever, they might have three or four. I've seen three or four people in one hotel room because they're trying to save money. You know what I mean? And it is expensive. UFC will give you two rooms and some flights, but if there's more people and they can't afford it, then they share rooms, you know? So you got to share a room with them. You got to share a bathroom. You got to go training. You got to go to lunch, dinner, all the rest of it, and sleep in the same fucking room. It doesn't matter how good a coach they are. If that person gets on your fucking nerves, if he's driving you crazy, then that energy, that negative energy, overwhelms everything else. And you're going to have a bad camp. It's going to be unsettling and you're not going to perform well. So you're going to be with people that you click.
You're not going to be looking forward to training. You're going to be, you know, that motivation is very psychological. You know, whatever, everyone's gone to the gym, and you know the mornings you get up and you feel like going, and you know the mornings what it feels like to not feel like, you're like, God damn, I do not want to be there. And you want to hit that snooze button again and again and again. And I think if you're dealing with people daily where you don't want, same thing at work, right? You don't want to go to work, you don't like these people, it's pulling fucking teeth. And I think that that's a big part of it. So if this guy does something where Diego really motivates him and it brings him out of his shell and he really likes spending time with him, then more power to him. It's probably the absolute best coach for him.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know if he's absolute the best coach.
Absolute. You know,
I don't think he's the absolute best coach. I don't think he's the best coach on planet Earth for him. But to your point entirely, if that lifts him up, if that gets him in the zone, then more power to him, you know. Fingers, you know, Diego's been around this game long enough. Diego knows what he's doing. He's got more experience than fucking anyone in the UFC, pretty much. He won Ultimate Fighter Season 1. You know, and he's still going strong. So far be it from us to criticize. Some more power to him. All right, what else we got? Question number two.
Roland from Germany.
Whoa, pause it for a second. J.N. Before you even get into it, let me say this. Pull up Brian's face. Brian looks exactly like Roland from Germany. Brian.
Hold on. Brian, let's go to the Brian cam immediately.
Brian, make that face.
Make that face. Like you're sucking Harrington's dick.
Go ahead.
Just do it.
They have the same face.
Hold on. Oh, my God. We need a cyber. Brian is Roland from Germany.
Roland is Brian. Brian is Roland.
What movie is that of? What is it?
Pet Detective. Ace Ventura.
Yeah. What is it?
Einhorn.
Einhorn is whatever. That is so funny. I love Finkel. Ace Ventura. Oh yeah, Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel. Oh my God. I just want to say, by the way, everybody, I put a picture on of Harrington and Brian. Harrington was naked and Brian was in the picture. And Brian, explain to the good people of Believe You Me what happened after that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, some chick hit me up in my DMs and sent me pictures of her titties and shit. It was pretty good. You should really tag me more often.
I will tag you today. All right. Okay. Let's hear from our good friend, Roland.
Speaking of Ace Ventura, like the whole scene is him literally puking because he hooked up with a transgender person. That movie cannot happen now. It's just him puking all over the place because he fucking...
Could you imagine now? That would be like so bad. But here's the thing. We're going off on a tangent and I really want to hear from our good friend Roland from the Germany. But you know, I don't think he's from Germany. I don't. But... Yeah, you just couldn't get away with that now. But that's okay. But these days, comedians, as you know, their shit's getting canceled for stuff they did. They're not canceling Jim Carrey for a joke that was allowed at that time in that era. Yeah. But anyway, without further ado, let's hear from Roland from the Germany.
Hello, Louis, Jay, and Mike. This is Roland Wixer from Germany. If you had to give your worst enemies a song to listen to for 1 hour each day, for the rest of their lives, which song would you choose?
I like the way this guy talks. And I know he was being a little seductive in his delivery, you know. But which song would you choose, Lewis?
I mean, you're obviously attracted to this man. because I didn't hear seduction. I heard a creepy, weird pedophile voice. You got sexually aroused during it, so that's fine. We're learning a little bit about Michael Bisping every day. I love the question segment because we get to really open up the a window into the soul of Michael Bisping.
Just because I can recognize that, yeah, okay, Roland's got it going on. Okay, he's got finely trimmed facial hair. All right, and the shade of his beard is just the shade that I like. Okay, and yeah, there's a certain somewhat seduction tone to his voice. It does something. It makes me feel a little weird in this day and age. Is that so wrong, Lewis? What is the problem with that?
I stand corrected. Here I am. I'm an old school Ace Ventura mentality, and you've just moved forward. You're 2020 Michael Bisping, very open minded.
Absolutely, but without further ado, Lewis, which song would you play? So yeah, which song would you play for your enemy on repeat if they were trapped on a desert island and they couldn't get away from this song? I'm adding things into the question. I don't think he mentioned the desert island, but what song would you pick to annoy the fuck out of him?
I think this is the song that I would have to play, which, to be honest with you, I started off hating, but weirdly, after listening to it 1,000 times and watching the video 1,000 times, I kind of like it now, but it is very annoying. The song is called, I believe it's Okie Dokie Boomer, and there was a girl who put out a video yesterday, this beautiful young girl who is just, it's her dancing to this song in a Bernie 2020 shirt. Look at this. Holy, this has gone viral. People love this.
Whatever you say.
Okay.
Now you can just play it over Boomer. And over again. We can just end the show by watching this for 30 minutes. I love it.
I mean, I got to say, it's not a bad little video to watch on repeat. But, and while at first, you know, there was a little head movement where I think we're both giving a little dance. I can imagine after 10 minutes of that, I will strangle that bitch. Okay. I don't care what fucking day it is. She's going to sleep. If I'm trapped on a desert island with her, and I don't care how seductive and suggestive her faces are. Okay. Okay. Boomer, after a bit of backslap. Shut the fuck up. I can't take that anymore. I will take the gramophone and throw it into the ocean. Okay?
No way, dude. She can do whatever she wants to me. She could. I mean, that girl, she's great. Now I'm following her on Instagram. She's just fucking excellent. Look at her. Look how happy she is. I mean, what a good girl.
Yeah, she's very happy. Yeah, and just for the sake of the podcast, I'll have to give her a follow on Instagram as well. What's her screen name? What's her tag? Listen, we can't discuss it on the podcast if I'm not following her. It's as simple as that. That's the only reason.
What is that? Neeko Lull, NEEKOLUL. I mean, Jesus Christ. I wish I was young again. If I can go back in time, I'd be in shape. I'd figure it all out, dude.
She does look borderline statutory rapey. So? That's statutory rape town. Just
grow
be
up.
Careful.
Grow
you up. You don't want to reside in statutory rape town, buddy boy.
Did we figure out how old she is? She's at least 18 because she's voting for Bernie. So whatever, Boomer. That's your problem. You're too old to even understand us kids.
Early 20s.
Just because I don't want to have illegal sex, okay, with Bernie Sanders supporter.
She's in her early 20s, which is the ideal age for a young woman.
Yeah, granted. All right, fair enough.
Don't show Rebecca this part.
Edit that bit out. Okay, so you asked me also the question, which would be the most annoying song. So whilst we were doing that, I did Google most annoying song because I you know the one that popped into my head?
What?
Straight away was Barbie Girl by Aqua. You know that one?
I remember.
Because that would get annoying fast. But I typed in most annoying songs ever, and it came up with a plethora of very, very annoying songs. And we've got a list here. Macarena. Hey, Macarena. Again, good. Gets annoying after
a while.
Didn't
they play that one specifically outside of Waco, Texas, to try to drive them out? There was a song they played.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's right. I did hear about that. But then Who Let the Dogs Out? That would be annoying as fuck. Achy Breaky Heart, Friday, don't know that one. The Mbop by Hanson.
Mbop's a bad one.
Oh, God, so bad. You're Beautiful by James Blunt. That's a beautiful song. I love that song. That's very nice. You're beautiful.
After a while, though. Any song after a while would probably bug you.
Wannabe. Don't know who that is by.
That's the Spice Girls. What are you talking about? The Spice Girls.
I like the thong song. I get knocked down by Chumbawamba. Fuck that song. I hate that song. And you know, I've seen a few MMA fighters walk out. I get knocked down, but I get up again. And I just think, oh my God, get a grip, get a life. So anyway, any one of them would work. If you had, what would be one of your just favorite songs trapped on an island to listen to?
I will say last night I heard for the first time in a while, Iron Maiden's, Run to the Hills. It's a fucking great metal song. It's not heavy metal where it's like Unpalpable. It's just a great song. And I heard that in a while. I forgot how much I enjoy that song. I don't know. I don't listen to like contemporary music. So it's like anything new that comes out, I'm like, I have no idea what it is. Like my son likes some fun pop songs now, and you know, whatever he likes, I'll listen to. So
anything that new, that's new, seems to be shit. Right, they don't. I mean, I again, okay, boomer, because I definitely do sound like I'm older, but I don't hear good new music being released. It's all bullshit. It's all mumble rap. It's all super high pitched teeny bop pop songs. You know what I mean? There's no good music. There's no
like, real rock. Rock and roll, where you're like that's fucking like a guitar and a bass, and there's a drummer, and the singer goes up there and they sing songs, and it sounds like you could drive a nice car. Yeah. And you just want to. There's none of that anymore. It's always this weird, like Coachella-y, like, hey, we're all cool, man. Like, just fuck. I don't know, man. You want some balls? There's no balls in rock music anymore. I don't know the last time we've seen like I guess the Foo Fighters was probably the last big rock band with real balls. And I wasn't even a huge Foo Fighters fan. I just appreciate them more now in retrospect because I realize there haven't been many bands after the fact that sort of hit that high level of fame and success.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Foo Fighters are amazing. And same, when they were at their height, I wasn't really much of a supporter, but definitely am now. Same way with a lot of rock music. I was late to the party on that front. Like Metallica are fucking awesome. Foo Fighters, you know, the list goes on. But you did remind me of something because we bought tickets to Pearl Jam. We were very, very excited. We're going next. Pearl Jam. We were very excited for Pearl Jam. It's Rebecca's favorite band of all time. Guess what? We get an email last night. Concert is fucking cancelled. Coronavirus. I swear to God.
We're such pussies. Well, it's not going to do anything. I'm sorry.
They postponed the concert. I was very full of myself. She goes off to Australia on a jazzy trip. I surprise her with tickets to fucking Pearl Jam. Okay? Very expensive. Paid way over the odds. And they fucking can't. Well, they haven't cancelled. They've postponed. And I guarantee the new day I'll be out of town working for the UFC. But anyway, we got any more questions? I think we had a few, didn't we?
I think we had one. It's not even a question. We had one more guy that didn't he submit a piece of content? Yeah.
I have the MMA Slam podcast has the latest trailer for Michael Bisping's Quitters Never Win.
I like that. MMA Slam podcast.
Sad and hopeless soul, needing of inspiration, enters a bookstore.
Hey, what's this? Quitters Never Win? Michael Bisping?
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
All right.
That's the best piece of content I've ever seen. Shut the fuck up, buddy, and be inspired today. First of all, Harrison, please send me that in a file that I can put on Instagram because I got to share that. And it's a cheeky little way of the book. By the way, Quitters Never Win is available right now, so please go out there and buy it. But who sent that in? Because that's awesome. I love that. That's so good.
It was the guys at the MMA Slam podcast.
Go listen to the MMA Slam podcast. I'm sure they're fun. If they listen to this show and they make incredible content like that, you can only imagine how good their podcast is.
Yes, but make sure to tell all your friends about our podcast and not theirs. But I will say this. Harrington, we should send that guy or the MMA Slam podcast some a piece of merchandise for supporting our show. And I guarantee I'll send you the Sanibel gloves before you send them a t-shirt or a hoodie. How about that?
I bet you nobody gets any of this shit.
What are we betting?
There's no gloves. There's no hoodie coming to you guys, MMA whatever podcast. In fact, don't even listen to their podcast. Edit out the entire bit. I'm sick of their shit. I don't like how cocky they are.
Yeah, they're getting a little too big for the boots. I've never heard of them. 5 seconds is literally the first time I've heard, but if I never hear from the MMA Slam podcast ever again, it'll be too soon. Thank you, Daniel.
You want to do some quick picks here? Sponsored by BetTSI. Oh, you can't. How about me and Harrington will do some picks, and then you can make facial expressions and we'll sort of deduce from your facial expressions whether or not you can go right away.
Okay, here's what we'll do. I'll tee you up on the fights, and I want to hear, you know, an opening comment on both of them. Okay, so the main event is Kevin Lee taking on Charles Dubronx Lille Vieira. What have you got, guys?
Harrington, what do you think here, buddy?
Charles Oliveira on a 6-fight win streak, longest win streak of his UFC career, if I'm not mistaken. Most submission wins in the UFC. We saw Kevin Lee have a problem with submission specialist and Tony Ferguson already. I think the cut down to 155 is a little too much for him. 165 would be perfect for Kevin Lee. I like Charles Oliveira as a slight underdog here.
Ooh.
Wow.
Info, knowledge being spouted. I like the way you defer to Harrington immediately so you can bring up your laptop and you know, get some information. But still, Lewis, what are you looking at that someone else has written on?
Nothing. First of all, I can't even read. Second of all, let me just go off the dome here. Okay, Kevin.
Brian, can we pan out to see what Lewis is doing right now? See what I mean? All right, go on. Read.
I disagree with Mike Harrington. I think that Kevin Lee is God amongst men, and I think that he's going to destroy Charles Oliveira. And to be honest with you, this is only based off the fact that Harrington is a loser and doesn't actually make any correct choices in life. So if you guys want to win money or do anything or get anywhere in life, just go with the opposite of whatever Harrington says, and you'll probably do all right.
I like Lewis.
Okay. I gotta say, I like the breakdown from Harrington. He delivered it in a fantastic way. Co-main event, we have Damian Maia, a long stalwart of the UFC, one of the best grapplers in MMA. He went up against Gunnar Nelson, who was also supposed to be one of the best grapplers in MMA. Damian Maia made short work of him. He'll be taking on Gilbert Burns, who himself is a very high-level jiu-jitsu player with knockout power, training down at Henry Hooves and getting better and better. This is a tremendous co-main event, one that I'm very much looking forward to calling. But how do you see this fight going down, gentlemen?
You know what? I'm going to defer to Harrington. Harrington, what do you think here?
The smart bet for me is always on if I'm getting Damian Maia at plus odds, right? That's where I'm always going to go. So I'm seeing Damian Maia at plus 185. I think the line is messed up. Gilbert Burns, yes, he's an exciting young prospect. Yes, I've been doubting him every step of the way. I think Damian Maia is maybe
How do you think Burns feels about you? You've been doubting him every step of the way. Could you imagine if you asked him, like, Mike Harrington doubts you every step of the way, Burns? How do you feel about that?
Listen, I'm just going to... We cut Harrington off. We're not even going to let him finish his point. And then, to be honest, I don't want to hear your point either. Here's what I want to ask you about. Hold on. How do we see Gustavo Da Silva taking on David Dvorak going down? Lewis, testing your knowledge.
Dvorak?
Gustavo Da Silva taking on David Dvorak. How's that going to go down? Who's going to win and why?
That's not even on my notes. I can't even pretend. I can't even pretend that I've even heard either of those names. This could be a trick question right now, and you could have named two Game of Thrones characters. And I have no idea.
I will say this.
Cersei Lannister is taking on... good.
Who's another female? Cersei Lannister. No, but I will say this. Cersei Lannister taking on... Who's the old woman? The old woman, the... she's dead. Catelyn Stark. Okay, yeah, I wasn't thinking there. But anyway, I will say this on this fight card this weekend. It is a tremendous card. It really is. Kevin Lee, Charles Oliveira, main event. Co-main event, as we just said, Damian Maia, Gilbert Burns. Renato Moicano taking on Demir Hadzevic. That's an awesome fight. Johnny Walker rebounding. Obviously, there was a ton of hype behind him. He obviously lost to Corey Anderson. Taking on Nikita Krylov. That's a fantastic fight. Francisco Trinaldo taking on John McDessie. Another excellent fight. That'll be a lot of fireworks. GGF Omega, Brandon Moreno, Randy Marcus, Amanda Ribas, Eliza Dolesky, Dos Santos, Alexei Konchenko. That's another fantastic fight to knockout artists. I got to say, this is, you know, for a fight night card, there's a lot of star power on this card. So very, very much looking forward to calling that one. I fly down to Brazil first thing in the morning after I go and hobnob with Hollywood's elite this evening, Lewis.
What a life Michael Bisping has. Holy shit. Well, look, good luck to you. Have fun this weekend. We're all going to be watching you this weekend. Honestly, we're not even watching it for the fights. We're watching it for you. Yeah, I guess let's do some picks in the main event. I mean, what is your actual pick? You think Oliveira wins Harrington?
Yeah.
All right. And the odds from BetDSI, really quick. Let me give them.
Let me ask you this. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Lewis. Yeah, let me ask you this, Harrington. Why do you so you're picking Oliveira? Why do you think he wins? Because I can maybe, you know, rebuttal, because I can't give picks because I am commentating.
You can play devil's advocate.
I can play devil's advocate though. So Harrington, why do you think Oliveira?
So I think Kevin Lee, a lot of what makes him so special is he can threaten for the takedown, and that sets up his hands, right? So in a situation like this where he's going to be on the ground with Charles Oliveira, who I think is a better submission artist than him, that's not necessarily where he's going to want to start playing. So his strengths are going to be taken away from him a little bit, and I think he's going to be able to neutralize him enough on the feet. Don't forget also Oliveira knockouts in his last two fights, so he is showing power later in his career.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely... absolutely, a good point. But Kevin Lee, I would say, is the bigger, stronger guy and has more power in the fist and is way more athletic. Do you not think he could nullify some of the threats of Charles Oliveira by his athleticism and will to win?
I think he could, but I mean, we're talking about the gentle art here, right? Like, there's nobody better at submitting guys than Charles Oliveira in the UFC. It's 13 submissions. It's the most in UFC history. I think he would be able to catch Kevin Lee with something while he's displaying that athleticism and trying to bully him either against the fence or taking him down.
So you're saying gentle art, you're quoting the literal translation of the word jiu-jitsu to me, which is, you know, that's a great point to bring up. Had this have been a jiu-jitsu match, but alas, it is not a jiu-jitsu match. This is a fight. This is a fisticuff match. There's all kinds of ways to win. There's many arts that will be used, not only the gentle arts, Harrington. This is not one-way traffic. This is not a one-dimensional fight. Kevin Lee's a tremendous athlete, a strong wrestler, and he does have knockout power. Look at the head kick knockout that he delivered in his last fight against Gregor Gillespie. I mean, come on, one of the best knockouts of the year.
I couldn't agree more. I'm not underestimating his power by any stretch of the imagination. However, I like what I've seen from Oliveira standing up and being able to trade recently. And I just think, like I said, that jiu-jitsu is going to be too much for Kevin Lee to overcome. But that's why it's such an exciting fight, and it's why the line is so close.
Harrington, you're fired if you ever disrespect Michael Bisping on his own fucking show again. How dare you? I'm sorry, Bisping. I tell him to stay in his lane every time. I'm like, Harrington, you could barely push the buttons on this show. And then he comes in and he tries to shut you down in your own show. I don't believe it's happening.
To be fair, he does not push buttons.
Brian's like, listen, you keep calling him fucking Harrington, okay? And now you're giving him credit for pushing the buttons. Let's get Brian and Harrington on the camera. I want to see what we're working with.
All today. Harrington has to do, his whole life is sleeping in a garden and reading other people's opinions on mixed martial arts. It's infuriating, okay? He does no editing. He does no fucking, he does no real work. His whole life is just fucking, look at him. Look at him. He's wearing his shitty pink sunglasses inside. I realized how douchey sunglasses are inside until I watched Harrington wear them. I apologize for the past 6 months of being me.
So is that it? Are the sunglasses gone for good now? Because you did rock them for a while. You did definitely commit. And I got to be honest, while I did bust your balls at the start, they grew on me and I liked it. So have they gone? That's it. The 90s. That you now look like your little emoji that you have on Twitter or whatever it is. The young,
hot,
youthful Luis J. Gomez. Oh, so hot. So hot right now.
Look at those lips,
though. So
hot. And no, I found the glasses. I thought I lost them. And I was like, I'm not going to spend another $220 on fucking glasses. That's ridiculous. That's like, iconic, and I found them, so I will bring them out from time to time. But yeah, I think I don't know, I have to switch it up. I need to look in the mirror and just feel different every once in a while. And if it's just shaving my dumb face and taking off my hat or growing in a mustache or whatever it is.
I know. I do know what you're saying because I've had the same haircut now for a long time, and I go to Francesca, who's amazing at the Grand in Brea, if anyone's interested. And I say, I got to do something different. What can I do different? So at the moment, it sounds kind of, you know, a little metrosexual, but I'm growing it out. It's way longer. If I don't have gel in, it comes down to about here now. So I'm buttoning it back and it's short at the size. But that's about as much as I can vary it up. And that's why I've grown a little bit of a beard, but I'm not the best beard grower.
It's a little Nazi-ish, your hair. It reminds me of Nazi Germany.
That's the look I was going for. Malnourished Nazi Germany. You know, you hit the nail on the head.
I was saying the Nazis, not the prisoners.
Oh. Well, I am German. If you go back far enough, if you go back to like the 1200s, I am German. Bisping, no, seriously, Bisping was Bisping off back in the day. And on that point, you can Bisping off with this show, because I feel like that's our time. So, auf Wiedersehen and the Bisping off. Oh, Roland.
Did you just fucking Heil Hitler to end the show? What is wrong with you? Stop.
No, I didn't. Stop. I saluted the troops.
Stop.
Fucking, what are you doing? Roland. I did this. I did that. I did not. Hey!
No,
I did not do this.
This all it's gonna be is you with that haircut and a fucking GIF on Twitter of you going.
I'm gonna shave all the beard off above the one little bit here.
Try to save your career. Trust me.
Oh God! All right. I think on that note, we'll say goodbye. Enjoy the fights. Enjoy your weekend. Talk to you soon.
We'll see you guys on Monday. Peace.